Welcome to Nerdities. Bitches.
Good evening, my dear bottom feeders and underachievers. It's that time of the month. And no, not the week that you're going to give excuses to not do your duties.
Whoa.
Fucked up.
Wow. What's fucked up about that?
What kind of duties?
What are you insinuating?
What are you insinuating?
Well, I was just saying, it's like, it could be the end of the month.
And like,
no. No, 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 sir. Just saying, like, everybody hits that, like, wall. Fucking mid-month or end of the month. We're just like, I want to be fucking left alone. I hate humanity. Why is January on its 65th day?
That's what you meant.
But fuck you guys.
Yo, you never laugh at anything I say like
that. I do laugh at things you say.
Not like that. 65
That was funny. 65 days of January.
That was very good, Justin.
Thank you.
But the way he looks up at him and slowly blinks his eyes.
Yes, thanks, Joe.
Everything you say is funny, Justin.
This is The Weekend. I am your host, Justin, as always, joined by...
Mike.
Kyle.
Joe.
Egon.
Bravo, kids. All right, this is the show in which we ask... randomly weird questions and respond potentially even weirder. Maybe throw in a chuckle or two. Unless you're Vinny, because no one's going to laugh. I'm kidding.
Real quick, did you guys notice that I was a soprano right there?
Yeah, it was very good.
Yes.
Sometimes people don't understand.
You fucking noticed you're a soprano. I mean, of all people noticed that you're a soprano. I need you to go out there and answer these fucking questions so we can finish this fucking show.
We like to start strong with Mike's question du jour.
What?
A weird one to start with.
Mm. Yeah, I thought the other one would be a good primer for this, but...
I mean, you did the way he wrote it.
Yes, I know. But we always start strong with Mike's question.
Okay.
That's the fucking gimmick.
What was your biggest entertainment letdown?
No, to build up the first question. I think you forget that part.
Yeah.
I have a couple answers for this one.
Mine, I've said this many a time, and I would be shocked if no one else echoed me. Spider-Man 3.
Almost.
Let down.
Put that.
Almost. But I did stay in the theater for the whole one.
Yeah. So I skipped down the aisle to go see that. I was so excited. And then came out a different person. Learned my lesson.
Bet you if they had a Venom fleshlight popcorn bucket then.
Oh, yes, his head coming up.
Yeah, it would have been better.
It'd be Topher so Grace bad. Looking at you.
Yeah.
Joe.
Rise of Skywalker. If you're going to end the Star Wars, you know, Skywalker saga, end it on a good note. Rise of Skywalker was an awful piece of shit.
I disagree. It wasn't fantastic, but it is not it's not terrible.
It's not Spawn.
Yeah.
I like Last Jedi better than Rise of Skywalker.
But see,
okay, sure, but
yeah.
But if you're gonna end this you know, this huge story.
How
spanning...
the fuck can you sit there and honestly say The Last Jedi was better than Rise of Skywalker?
Because you actually had Luke.
There's a whole fucking plot point in that movie about a fucking casino.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying The Last Jedi was a good movie, but I just liked it better than Rise of Skywalker.
I can't.
I'm not saying at all if it was good.
Hashtag Team Vinny.
Ooh.
I mostly disliked the whole sequel trilogy. Like, there were some
Are
parts...
Are you one of those people?
There were some parts in, you know, basically Force Awakens was A New Hope. Again.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that? Huh? Was there anything wrong with it? No, it was fucking nostalgic, and everybody loved it. You sit down, Star Trek.
Yeah, but just Rise of Skywalker, there was just...
Yeah.
If you read the story, for the script for Duel of the Fates, the original Episode 9,
oh,
that
God.
Was way better. than what we got.
If you read the script, the movie that didn't get made.
I unfortunately agree with Joe, even though I didn't read anything. Force Awakens, Blue Chunks. See, it was good for like the first hour.
This is the problem. Maybe. I extend the olive basket, and you spit in my face every time. Every time.
You try to be nice to Vinny. Vinny tells you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Vinny tries to be nice to Joe. Joe tells him to go fuck himself.
Yeah.
Everyone's kissing my ass. I don't know.
I will tell you when I knew Force Awakens Blue Chunks.
What?
When Poe Dameron and Kylo Ren's first interaction. Who's so first? Beetleverse? I go, they're going to make it a fucking joke.
Oh, no. And there's a comedy in a Star Wars movie?
No,
oh, no,
funny no,
happens,
no. Your face, listen, if you want, with a Sith Lord.
If you want,
he's not a Sith Lord.
If you want space adventures with no humor, watch the Star Trek movies.
Watch Rebel Moon.
If you want a children's cartoon, watch Clone Wars. Give me what I want. Give me darkness.
It's
give
not
me
about
death,
you.
Which was Duel of Fates.
No
Kylo Ren was going to be the
what?
Villain.
No one wants that.
Yes.
No, everything doesn't have to be fucking dark, guys. It doesn't have to be.
No, but I at least want a villain that was, you know, oh, Palpatine's back. Somehow. He's back again.
You're right, somehow. In a universe where an entire fucking army was made of clones, somehow the Whoa. Main bad guy came back.
Yes.
Gee willikers, I wonder how the fuck that
was
laid out.
Stupid. Okay, out of nowhere, like...
Oh, it was stupid. It was stupid that they used clones again. Clones.
You know,
fucking weird.
You guys know that three other people have answers to this question, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And there's six other questions after it.
Good point. All right, Kyle, go ahead.
I have three answers to this question.
Oh, yeah, Kyle, go last. I'll go next.
That couldn't have been written any better.
For me, it was Elektra. I walked out of that movie.
It's fair.
Yeah. I saw it in the
trailer. Got about 15 minutes in and was like, nope.
Oh, no.
Only movie I've ever walked out of. Kyle, now respond with your three.
So, the first one is my fault. It was my biggest letdown concert. I paid like $120 to see Kenny Chesney and Eric Church together.
Oh, there you go.
And I got so drunk, tailgating in the parking lot, drinking apple pie moonshine and slamming beers that, I went in and I was so drunk that I blacked out and fell asleep for Eric Church's entire set and woke up halfway through Kenny Chesney's set. So basically I paid $120 to watch a quarter of a concert.
Wow.
And I still haven't seen Eric Church since then. He's like one of my top performers that I want to see live because I missed it that time.
Hashtag go hard.
Event that was a pretty big letdown was my 21st birthday. We went to Atlantic City. I didn't think I needed to be in charge of planning my 21st birthday, but it ended up, we went with... obviously, like, my sister went, but she's younger than me, so she wasn't 21. We went to dinner at a place I'd always wanted to go to, which was pretty cool, Budokan. It's now closed.
Yeah.
But after that, we went out gambling, but the people who went out gambling were effectively me, my parents, my older brother and his wife at the time, and then our grandparents. And because it was our grandparents, they only wanted to stay out for like a half hour after dinner. So my grandparents and my parents both left. And then I basically spent the rest of my 21st birthday for like a half hour after dinner with just my older brother and his wife at the time. So it was pretty underwhelming, probably the most underwhelming 21st birthday that I've been involved in. Biggest letdown of a book because I've never finished it and there was so much hype going into it. I had seen the first three seasons of Game of Thrones before I tried to read the first book. And although I liked the characters, when I went to read the book, I quickly realized that I was not the biggest fan of George R.R. Martin's writing style.
And so it was really like, it was really difficult, and I never even made it through the whole book. And that was, I don't even know how many years ago now, and I've tried to go back a couple times and still not been able to finish it.
That leaves young Vincent, right, to answer the question?
Yeah, I would say The Dark Knight Rises. Huge letdown.
Coming out of The Dark Knight, I could see that.
Yeah.
There's such a high, high, that for that thing to just kind of be a wet fart.
Yeah, I had a problem with Batman being old, out of commission. I'm like, that's very anti-Batman. I'll continue.
Yeah, except for like the biggest Batman story ever. But like,
yeah, but when he was like done and retired, like he was like 37.
Yeah, that's one of my big hang-ups with that whole fucking universe.
Yeah, and then the way What's-Her-Face, her death scene, she's a good actress. It was one of the worst death scenes I've ever seen in my life.
Forehead titties.
Just like that. It's over now. Bane's a cuck. He's not even like the main villain. I know he never really is, but.
But he is, though. Like, in the comics. Bane's like the biggest drug lord and whatever made up.
He's a mastermind. He's a physical and mental threat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've never really done him properly. And
no.
It is kind of amazing that he had to watch the love of his life fuck his enemy. Yeah. I don't think he actually watched, but he knew what happened. I guarantee she had to report back to him.
No, why couldn't it be me?
You're out late last night. You didn't come home.
No text?
Yeah, I have to go shower.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
In your daily life, who would you name as your arch enemy? I'm going to start with Kyle.
Well, is it really an arch nemesis if it changes?
I mean, it should be pretty consistent.
I have arch nemeses that are consistent for months at a time.
Okay.
So, like, right now, I have an arch nemesis because it's whatever client is the most annoying.
So client
is my arch nemesis for that period of time. And I typically work on jobs for, like, a year or more. So, like, right now, I have a client who calls the office once a week. I was the first point of contact when she called the office. She had a builder in mind that she had been talking to on and off for a year before she reached out to our office. And when I called that builder, his wife answered the phone. And I said, I'm just calling to check in because a client told me that you may be retired. And she said, who's the client? And I told her the name of the client. And she said, oh, we're retired for that client. That's the kind of person it was. Like, one of the most well-respected builders in the area was like, yeah, I'm retiring at the end of this year. But for right now, I'm retired for that person. Like, if she asks again, I'm retired. And
she asks again, I'm dead.
And we've been going back and forth and round on the scope of work for this lady. A guy in my office drew a sketch for her. It took him probably like half a day to do it. And he did that sketch probably 10 months ago. And she still has not even signed the contract to start building. But she still calls once a week. So that's why she's currently my arch nemesis.
Okay, that's fair. Vinny?
Arch nemesis.
Well, for me, daily, since I can remember, it's always the man in the mirror. You know? I'm always competing with myself. I'm always going against myself. It's always an uphill battle. You know, you ever tell me when, the next loss is around the corner. You feel me?
Can I ask you a question?
I'm not opening the question floor right now, thank you.
Okay,
you can ask now.
Okay, I was just wondering, is your hero yourself in 10 years? chance?
My hero is the man that I can be, the man that I there strive to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Joe.
But my real arch nemesis is actually Joe.
I've been waiting for it.
Yeah.
Mine is similar to Kyle's. I can't say this person's name, but they're a major pain in my ass because they like to unplug things and push buttons and break things and then constantly call saying, hey, this doesn't work. And we go out there, we fix it, and then get another call. Hey, it doesn't work. Go out there, fix it. Show them what to do. It's a constant struggle. This person needs to retire because they're almost at that age.
Fun.
Yes.
Vinny's not even on Joe's radar as an arch.
I know. That's how blasé he is with the way he interacts with me.
He's like, I don't think of you as my enemy because I don't think of you.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Dude, he's the Batman in Lego Batman, and I'm the Joker.
Vinny is 100% the monarch in this situation.
He tasks me.
Michael.
Hey, Vinny stole my line. I am definitely my archenemy. But because there's no one who can undermine any accomplishment I do in a day better than myself.
It's accurate.
Procrastination, if it's not a person, it's a thing. Like, whatever the embodiment of procrastination is my nemesis.
Hmm.
And I think I am the embodiment of procrastination. So, yeah.
You can be.
Do you ever, like, set up your workstation, like you're about to get ready to do something, and then you go, ooh, I have to go empty the dishwasher?
I'll be sitting here with everything set and ready to go, and I'll have a movie on in the background that I've watched 1,000 times.
And he'll watch
it. Just for sound. Yeah, and then an interesting part happens. I'm like, ooh. Oh.
I forgot how much I love this.
Oh, it's been 30 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Which is, it's very fun, since none of you ever sit in with Mike and I when we write stuff for the group. We are the complete opposite. I have to have some sort of noise going on in order to, like, hyper-focus on what I'm doing, and Mike cannot.
Well, no, I can't have any kind of show on.
Yeah,
I can have
Mike
music
can't, yeah.
Without lyrics. I can have music that's just instrumental.
We're complete opposites.
Yeah. If I hear people talking while I'm trying to write dialogue,
like,
I can't write dialogue.
I can do it no problem. Anytime we have to write, we have to separate ourselves in my house from the children. And then I get, like, stumped after a few minutes, and it takes me a bit to, like, change my thought pattern. It's a parent thing, I think, because life is just noisy. Which is why, for my arch nemesis, it's Zach. See? Zach is
your Omni-Man?
Zach is the complete opposite of me. I like organization and cleanliness. And that child is the embodiment of chaos and destruction. See, he'll be doing something and have moved on from something he was doing previously. And I will go along to the thing he was working on previously and I will clean it up. Right? And the moment it is clean and put away, he stops what he's doing, goes back to what I just cleaned up, tosses it on the ground, makes a complete mess, does not start playing with it. No, no, no. He then goes back to the thing he was doing while I cleaned it up already.
Does he look you in the eyes as he's going back to doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. He will look. It's, yeah. Like, he's just like, no, no, old man.
Is it going to be like 13 years of buildup for when Zach goes through puberty and he's going to do something that's not a challenge for the head of household? But Joseph's going to be like, the fuck you talking about, bro? Huh? Clean that shit up. He's going to knock something on the floor.
The only other person, like, so other than that, Zach and I are great, right? It's not the same level of like pure disgust Zach has for James at times, which makes me laugh so hard.
He wants to be around him. He loves him. He can't not be around James. If he leaves to go to the bathroom, he'll follow him. But if James laughs, a switch goes off in Zach.
Yeah. And like it'll go from like Zach just mockingly laughing at James, like he legit is like ho ho ho, and we all can't help but laugh at it. But like past that, it's pure violence.
Zach is an 80s bully.
Yeah.
He knocks your books on the floor. He wants to beat up James when he laughs because he's got to come over.
Yeah.
I'm legitimately worried one day Zach might choke someone. Like, emotionlessly choke someone to death. Yeah.
Zach, why'd you do that? He was being a dork.
I don't even know. But it was fun.
Yeah. He's starting to get scared of things, though. So it's leveling off. Like, the sounds of the planes that fly by due to our close proximity to the airport freaks him out every time. Like, even if he's in one of his, like, rage modes, it snaps him right out of it, which is kind of nice.
You just need the sound of planes?
Yeah. He's like, I'm scared. And he'll, like, run over. He's like, I'm scared. It's like, yes, there are scarier things in life, kid. So, yeah, Zach, arch nemesis.
Did we cover all our nemeses?
Yeah. What's a line of dialogue from a movie that's always bothered you? I will
like
start.
This one would have gone great.
I'll start. The movie Bring It On. There's a scene in which the perky white cheerleaders go to the Compton cheerleading squad of multi cultures. And
the Clover.
Yes, the Clovers. And there's a cheer that they hear, and one of the lines in it is, "Burr, it's cold in here. There must be some clovers in the atmosphere." And, like, there's an exchange between the two sets of cheerleaders. They're like, "Burr, it's cold in here. There must have been toros in the atmosphere." And she's, like, all uppity, like, clovers in the atmosphere is, like, the thing that should be said. None of it makes sense. And it's always bothered me.
It's bad writing.
Yeah.
I think the reason why she gave the attitude is in that sentence she says after that is basically like, I know you don't think a white girl thought that shit up.
Well, like, none of it. None of it's good.
Well, you picked Bring It On. You could have just started with that.
But I like Bring It On.
You like it, why?
Guilty pleasure.
What do you like about it, Justin? Talk to me.
I like many of the actresses in it.
Okay. You're like my dad. My dad will just straight up watch horrible things because he thinks one woman's attractive in it.
No, it's not that. It has nothing to do with just because I think they're attractive. I like them as actresses in general. And it's just,
right. He says that also.
And it's one of those, it's just one of those, like, you know, products of its time. I was young then, it was, you know.
Yeah, so, no, I get it.
So the line of dialogue that you didn't pick wasn't, Torrance? Torrance? Wasn't that one?
No.
Okay.
The atmosphere shit always bothers me. Like, it should have just, like, you know, raindrops or, like, you know, something that's caused from atmospheric phenomenon. Just, you know, not clovers, because they're a plant. And not, clearly not fucking bulls. So, it's my problem. Joe Pravda.
Dave. Martha. it just always bothered me because throughout Man of Steel and the whole beginning of Batman v Superman, he always refers to Martha Kent as mom. At this one point, he just calls her Martha. Bad writing.
Was it established that he knew that Bruce's mom was named Martha, so he could be like, no. I'm, yeah, he had no clue. So he just, for some reason, said that the exact word, the exact name that would inspire this creature of the night to stop murdering multiple people. Because that's what he did in that series. He murdered a lot of people.
Now, let's go to the writer's room with Zack Snyder that day. He throws that on the desk, and all his writers are like,
I think we have to say yes.
Looks good. I like it. And he's like, yeah, you do.
When they introduced Batman v Superman, they introduced it with, you know, the Bruce Wayne monologue, the Batman monologue from Dark Knight Returns. Give us that. You know, would Batman's, like, holding the spirit of Superman, he could say it, he could say the monologue. Give us something good. Save Martha. No. Bad. Bad Zack Snyder. Bad.
Maybe you didn't get it. Maybe it's a you thing.
Vinny, what do you got?
I got it. It just...
No, he expects too much of you, Joe. It's over your head, under your feet. So, this is kind of a callback a few months ago. I brought this one up. Fast and the Furious 2. Tyrese Gibson. It's like, who's the guy you let go, Brian? I said, drop a cur. Whoever wrote that? Because Paul Walker... I need you to deliver this. And Paul Walker looks back and he says, what's a cub? And he's like, that's how they say cuz now. Cuz what? Cousin. Oh, that is pretty chill, bro. Let's go, Tyrese. We're going to nail this one.
Exactly how that went down.
Yeah. Oh. Mr. Michael Higgins.
I'm surprised no one else used this line. It is really the worst string of words ever put together in any film. Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else. Now, I wrote those words down when you gave us this list of questions, and just before the show came on, I was like, you know what? Let me check the exact quote to make sure I got it verbatim. It is such a bad series of words. It's been seared into my mind accurately for 20 fucking years.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, almost 25 years, because verbatim I wrote it down right. I'm going to have to look at it. Do you know what happens to a toad when it gets struck by lightning? The exact same thing that happens to everyone else. Who the fuck? You want to talk about taking something from comics, Joe? Why didn't she make reference to the fact that she used to be considered a god?
Yeah.
Something.
She was a goddess as a child. I literally, in the theater, when she said that, I thought up a better line in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember... The
most painful dialogue ever.
I remember watching that movie in theater and... enjoying so much about it until that point. And it was just like, well, it all can't be fucking winners, I guess, right?
Yeah, because there were moments that were great, and there were some like, oh, this isn't as good. But you know what? It's holding an average. It's holding a very good average right now. And that one line undercut...
so much.
It took a 10% off that they'd never get back.
It's true.
Mr.
That line is terrible.
Kyle?
I almost went with that Halle Berry line, but I figured somebody else is going to say that, so I actually pulled the line that for a while, because when Emery was a baby, we used to watch this movie like every day, and I'd known about this line since I was a kid, but I pointed it out to Joe pretty early on, and now like I'll say it every time the movie's on. So in Beauty and the Beast, in the animated movie, in the scene where Belle has just switched out places with her father and her father gets kicked out of the castle, shortly thereafter, the Beast offers her a bedroom, and she, like, is kind of, like, taken aback. And she's, like, kind of, like, a bedroom? And to that, he says, you wanna stay in the tower? So he says, you wanna twice. He doesn't say, you wanna stay in the tower? He says, you wanna stay in the tower?
Not like elegantly, like he was gambling. It was kind of,
and yeah, it was like the person who, it was like the actor who read the lines, almost like stuttered while reading the lines, and they were just like, "Eh, we're short on time. Keep moving.
Fuck it."
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, listen to it. He really says, "You want to stay in the tower?"
I want to go back and watch.
And Joe's in the kitchen right now laughing because it's a thing.
I'm going
I don't care where I am in the room. If I know that scene is happening, I will say it. As he's saying it or right before he says it.
As soon as we're done.
You duck your head in the room.
As soon as we are done recording. To put it on now.
It's so bad.
Next question. What's a meal you can no longer get that you'd take a time machine for to have again?
I have two.
All right, Joe, go ahead.
First one, there's a theme. Is the 18-ounce tomahawk ribeye from the California Grill that they got rid of. That steak was absolutely phenomenal. Second one is right across the lake, Narcosi's homemade chocolate bar. They have something similar now, but it's not the same. They did this hazelnut chocolate ganache with this amazing chocolate streak that you dip in. It's the best dessert on property. And COVID happened, and then they reopened, and it was gone. I cried.
I think I just heard you get hard.
Beth and I always, anything Narcosi's news, we always say, will they bring that back? We've asked them, will you bring it back?
They said, you, Whitey.
I said, who are you?
It was so good. It was best dessert on property.
Vincent.
I got the El Dorado, which was pretty much just mahi-mahi, at a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant in Costa Rica. The owner would, like, bring out this really, 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 really spicy hot sauce you could dip vegetables in. I was also getting their fries really good. Fun fact about that guy who owned that restaurant, he shot a man. Left him for dead. Really nice guy.
The shooter was a nice guy.
I guess I think the guy like acted a fool.
Well, shit happened. Yep.
He fucked around.
Don't do it.
Kyle.
So the sentimental ones are on my dad's side. My grandma Marge used to make a pretty good kvassi, and it was, I mean, Joe makes a really good one too, but that's kind of like the childhood food from that side of the family that I remember. And then, obviously on our side of the family, just because she used to make it randomly for like the 3 years that I lived there, the chicken and rice that Grandma Higgins used to make, you know, my mom has made it and Joe has made it. And maybe it was just me being a kid and my palate being so specific, but although they've been really good, my mom's and Joe's versions of it, there's just something about, like, in my memory, like, childhood in that house for those 3 years is just, like, that meal is kind of it. And then, in a much more disgusting way, when I was in college, one of the late night foods we used to order back when I was in college, the Domino's pizza places in New Jersey, and I don't think they still have it anymore. Maybe some of them might, but they used to have bread bowls for their pasta. And so I used to get the chicken carbonara bread bowl. So it was a chicken carbonara pasta inside a bread bowl. So it was, it was like extra fat stuff, like extra like double carbs, extra fatty, just because, you know, I was obviously eating that shit at 2 o'clock in the morning in my studio when I was in college.
You can still get it.
Where?
The Domino's right around the corner from me still has it. You could order chicken
carbonara. No way!
Yeah.
Dude, but in order to answer this question, I went online and I searched it for the Domino's, like, in our area, and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, the one right around the corner from me has it.
Well, I guess I don't need a time machine for that one, so we'll stick with the chicken and rice then.
Because I worked at Domino's. I remember making those.
Before anybody gives me shit about not being sentimental, I make all my mom's recipes still, so don't give me that. But I have a very specific meal here. I would return back to Subbusters before it moved to the Gennardi's Plaza, when it was still across the street from the Wawa on West Bay. I would make myself a turkey and provolone, everything on it, and Lay's Bistro chips. They don't make them. They stopped them. I think it was they were out for maybe a year, but they had a jalapeno and aged cheddar, which was fucking incredible. And you put that bitch on that turkey sandwich. Oh God, yeah.
So was the specific Subbusters location just based on when the chips were around?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Michael.
Every time food that's long gone comes up, you know I got to bring up KFC's rotisserie gold. I would literally eat an entire fucking chicken of this anytime it was ordered. I'd get my own. My dad and stepmom would split one, and I would wreck one all myself. It's fucking tremendous. And it's like it never existed.
Yeah.
Persona non grata for that company. And if I'm going to do a personal one, were you talking about Grandma's Chicken Nuggets, Kyle?
Yeah, she used to make with, like, Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was incredible. Man, Aunt Donna tried it when I was living there, and I was like, yeah, these are nice. These are very good. Not exactly the same.
There was just something different that has not been able to be captured by anybody else trying to duplicate it.
Yeah.
Her portions, the amount of seasoning, the type of seasoning she used.
Yeah.
Well, I would say that and cinnamon horns were like the two things I ever actually like sat with grandma and watched her make. So like, I know the steps to make that meal.
The cinnamon horn.
I'm horrible in a kitchen. Recipe. So what if I were to make it? It wouldn't even be close. But I know what the steps are.
That cinnamon horn recipe. Horrendous.
What?
Just fucking horrendous. There's all of like three ingredients in the dough. And like it shouldn't work the way it works. Like on a chemical level. Like the proportions are all fucking off. It's not right. And that's the reason that fucking thing has to be refrigerated for like a day before it can be rolled out. And the moment it gets warm, it falls to shit. It's mostly butter.
There you go. That's why it's so good.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Okay. Pick a fictional property that you'd like to open a bar/restaurant based off of. I'll go first. I want a Muppets bar. With a Rolf playing the piano in the fucking middle of it.
Now, would your servers be Muppets? Like, would the bar staff have to be Muppets?
I mean, there would be Muppets behind the bar, for sure. Mixed with humans. But, like, you're damn right Rizzo is, like, talking shit from the back of the bar.
Well, you gotta have him peek out of the kitchen every once in a while.
Sure.
But yeah, making Ratatouille jokes.
Fucking rubber chickens come flying through the service window every once in a while. Work, work, work.
Yeah, I would go to a Muppets Ogas, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Joe?
It's similar to yours. I would love to see Disney attempt this. The Ink and Paint Club from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Like, they can, it can be done with the screen, like, put a screen for the stage where you could have the cartoon characters be the entertainment.
I am surprised that they don't do that for Jelly Rolls, like, every once in a while.
It would be so cool if they could pull it off. And if anybody could pull it off, Disney could pull this off. Especially with this hollow floor with more... The technology's getting better and better and better.
It would be missing something because you wouldn't have free walking animated characters.
Yeah.
But it would be great if they could create some kind of animation thing where there's screens that you can interact with them at. kind of like the Mike Wazowski, except you only have to be two-dimensional, but they would need a lot more options for motion.
What about you take the idea for the animatronics, like on a Frozen ride or Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and if they could turn that into some kind of, you know, free-roaming robot, that could work.
Might as well just have people in costumes at that point.
I mean, the easiest way to do it would be make the walls on the sides and behind the bar screens. And that's the cartoon side only.
So they could do the bar as one of those 3D screens because it's the octopus that's the bartender.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you say you get to the bar and then, like, a computer read, you know, understands your voice. It says, okay, here's the drink.
Yeah. That's a good pick. Vin?
Be fun. I have two.
Go ahead.
The first one is called Splits. It's a Van Damme themed bar restaurant where the logo is just him, the two chairs doing a split, doing his katas. You know, a nice little bar restaurant. Our big theme is splitting things. Like, it's called the Splits. So you can split like your portions with your table, what have you. As far as my brain went with that one.
It's really good, though.
And then the next one is a gay bar called Hard Target. Right? And that's what we call a win-win. Because I'm thinking multi-tiered.
Those are Van Damme good choices.
Thank you.
Next now.
Kyle.
Odin's Sons is an Asgardian themed royal bar with drinks named after the gods themselves. Beers are served in steins. Every hour, one person is chosen at random to try and lift Mjolnir, that is positioned in a central location. If anyone can successfully move him, they get half-price drinks for the rest of the night.
Half-price,
and
that's great.
Instead of ringing a bell for large tips, a large tip will trigger a thunder strike behind the bar.
Bob Eisner, if you're listening, this needs to go in Epcot.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'd party there.
Michael?
I would like a Lord of the Rings-themed restaurant done a la medieval times.
I knew someone was going to do something like that.
Lord of the Rings, medieval times.
Lord of the Rings, but medieval times is just an excellent. Well done.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you recreate a handful of the battles from Lord of the Rings, of course. Nothing from The Hobbit. We're not even going to look at The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. You get like a 30-second animated thing at the beginning telling the story of The Hobbit. That leads us into the movie we want to watch.
Yeah. I like it.
I want to see the Balrog fight.
Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Then the last question.
I want 100 horses running at each other.
Damn. That's a wide theater.
Yeah, that's a big arena.
There's going to be a Nerdities fighting game. Aside from punching and kicking, your character will get 3 special moves and a finisher. Using any attacks you've seen from all forms of media, what attacks are you using, and what is your finisher? Vin?
So I have the Kaioken, obviously.
Okay.
The Spirit Gun, also pretty obvious.
Yeah, figured.
And then I also had a little fun with it, and I have the Fart Powers of the Spleen. Now, Justin, I know you have not seen Mystery Men, but if someone were to pull my finger, they get knocked unconscious with a fart.
I gathered that much. Thank you.
So, and then my finisher, because I'm such a Yu Yu Hakusho fan, is Hiei's Black Dragon Flame Hand thing.
Yeah, that's pretty
sweet. Because you can't come back from that.
It's good moves.
You did.
It's good moves.
I know. That's why I picked them. Thank you.
Joe?
So one of my special moves is a gun that shoots a laser from a science fiction show.
That's nice.
I also the second one was a lightsaber throw, and then the third was the guitar smash. And my finisher would be a screen appears, like a TV appears, and I put in a DVD, and then I turn it to the camera, and I'm holding the ticket from Last Action Hero, and then the shark from Jaws appears out of the bottom and eats my opponent.
I like that. That's a good finisher.
Very creative.
Good finisher. Michael.
Okay, I would start off, now this is all one fluid motion for me. The flying double spin kick, and then you get in close, nice spinning elbow, finish off with a choke slam. So now at this point I have 1, 2, 3, 4 hit combo, and then it's the fist fuck of doom.
Sick.
Yeah,
that's my finisher.
Kyle.
So I thought that this question was unfinished. So, because you asked for attacks, I also included 2 defensive moves because I'm me. So, as a first defensive tactic, sucking up the opponent to gain their power a la Kirby. And the other defensive tactic is Colossus's Children of the Atom super armor, which made him... It was almost like the equivalent of getting the star in Super Mario. Attack moves, Hado Energy from Ermac, Lightning Beast from Blanca, and there's a move in Def Jam Fight for New York called the Perfect Crime, which is effectively like, I couldn't tell if it was a Cobra Clutch or a Taz Mission, but you come up behind somebody, start choking them out, and then you like spin them around, jump in the air, and like slam them face first into the ground. That is not my finisher. My finisher is the Raikiri Lightning Blade that Kakashi uses.
That's good.
So does your metal armor, does it protect your lungs and your nose?
I would tell you something. Your move would be super effective against the sucking up Kirby power.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. You're at a disadvantage, my friend. I knew that power was going to be funny and effective.
Bomb effective.
Spirit gun for myself.
I already picked it. You have to pick something else.
No, I don't. Shadow clones. Because
I don't like that one. Pick something else.
There's nothing worse than multiple Justins at one time.
And we haven't had to deal with that, so I'll take your word.
Right. You can just imagine, though.
Try not to.
And then Chainsaw Man's Chainsaw Devil abilities, where my head and chainsaw blades come out of my hands. So I just attack like a fucking chainsaw. And my finisher is Head Captain Yamamoto's Bankai Zanka no Tachi, which has 4 different states of attack, one being resurrecting the bodies of those he's killed with the sword.
Yeah. So you said your finisher is Yabamaka Babate?
It's Head Captain Yamamoto's Bankai, and it's called Zanka no Tachi.
Yamamoto's bun cake and Tamagotchi.
Yeah, that's how I feel trying to talk about your D&D character's name. So now you know how it is.
Yes, yes I do.
Yeah. Pretty much it harnesses the power of the sun.
Oh.
So
your sword is Superman?
Pretty much.
So it doesn't protect your nose?
Yeah, it would burn away your stench.
I don't think it could. It would actually flame it in your face.
It's so hot, it evaporates all moisture around my being.
My farts?
No, my
unbearably hot farts. You don't want that, dude.
My sword. All right, now it's time for everybody's favorite parting of the show. It's time for you piece of shit. Let's add you piece of shit to your to lines of dialogue from your least favorite superhero movies. I'll start. Our scars can destroy us, even after the physical wounds have healed. But if we survive them, they can transform us. They can give us the power to endure and the strength to fight, you piece of shit.
I'm going to go on a limb. Was that Elektra?
No.
Okay. That was my guess, too.
Using context clues, because I don't know what that was from.
Spawn.
Nope.
Definitely wasn't.
Give up?
Yes.
Totally.
The Batman.
Good thing you're not a taste setter.
All right, next, Joe. Oh.
Okay. Hey, Martha, you piece of shit.
Vin?
All right, everyone. Chill, you piece of shit. Good. You know where that's from, Justin?
Yeah, that's from the unfortunate other Batman series that sucks. Kyle?
I need a heat-resistant lab and a big-ass sunroof, you piece of shit.
I don't know that one.
Fan Force Stick.
Mm.
That's why.
Michael.
Good choice. That is a bad movie. I like being bad, you piece of shit. It makes me happy.
Harley Quinn? Birds of Prey?
No one's going to get this.
Yeah, I got nothing.
That was Venom in Spider-Man 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
All of us have only watched that movie once, right?
I blocked that out.
I stop after Toby goes full emo and dancing in the streets. That's my favorite part.
Right, next up for me. If you are a justice, please do not lie. What is the price for your blind eye?
No, this is more than Batman. It's going to be all the Batman.
You didn't finish the line, though.
Oh, that's what I have down here.
Yeah, but
yeah, so you, shame on you. You gotta pick a new one.
Here we go.
Striking from the record, Kyle.
It's Joe.
What do you mean? I've known you my whole life. I've seen you naked. You don't think I wouldn't recognize you because I can't see your cheekbones? What is this? Why is your skin green? Why are you glowing? What the hell is with that mask, you piece of shit?
I know it is.
Green Lantern.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible movie.
That's not good.
Tis I?
Tis you.
Alright, you mutinous, disloyal, computerized half-breed. We'll see about you deserting my ship, you piece of shit.
I'm clueless on this one.
Well, because it totally sucks. No one's ever seen it and knows about it.
What is it?
What is it?
There's a good chance I've seen it.
Captain Kirk. Once. Star Trek. Oops.
That's not
did he? I think he did.
But that's not a superhero movie.
Superhero movie.
It's not a superhero movie.
It's close.
Wait, are you calling him a superhero?
Superhero wannabe. That. Whatever. Then
don't set that. Don't set that precedent.
Well, that's why I said it's least favorite.
Superhero movies.
Well, have you seen the way Captain Kirk does karate chops and manages to knock people out? That's super.
Yeah, very Austin Powers. Very Austin Powers like.
Wow. He's trying to arch you hard, Joe. Kyle.
We're going to have to watch that temper of yours, you piece of shit.
Damn it, I know this.
Two.
I should know this.
Wait, isn't this the Hulk? Like, the first one?
The Eric Bandor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. That was a... What's his name said that? Oh. Why can't I remember his name now? Damn it.
That was a terrible movie.
He's the sexiest man alive in the 70s. Anyway, yeah.
Michael.
Mike, me?
Yeah.
I've been marked once, you piece of shit. Let me assure you, no needle shall ever touch my skin again.
X-Men 3?
Yes, it is. I knew someone had to get that.
It was there.
I'll admit, I've watched that more times than I've watched Spider-Man 3.
This is a little bit of a conversation, this one. It can be cruel, poetic, or blind, but when it's denied, it's your violence you may find. Justice. The answer is justice, you piece of shit.
He found a lane and he stuck with it.
Yeah, he did.
How's it feel, Vinny?
Good for you. Swear to him.
You know,
how's it feel?
I consider me flattered. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
He should be. You did it all for him.
I learned it from you. Okay. Joe.
Who's next?
Since the dawn of existence, there has always been moments when the course of history shifted. Such a turning point is upon us now. The conflict between the better and worst angels of our very nature, whose outcome will change our world so greatly, will be no going back. I don't know if victory is possible. I don't know that great sacrifice is required, because the fate of many will depend on a few. We must make the last stand, you piece of shit.
Is that X3? Is that another X3?
Yeah, that was another X3.
What do you got, Ben? Yeah. An actual superhero movie this time?
Yeah. I lost my place now. Like, thank you. Thank you. God damn it. Skip me.
All right, Kyle.
You're afraid to even meet up. You're afraid to even admit you're afraid, you piece of shit.
Oh.
I have nothing on this one.
I feel like I absolutely know this movie.
You probably do.
Daredevil?
Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Vinny.
That's why I don't remember it.
What? Oh, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you. Really, really bad, you piece of shit.
Was that the Suicide Squad? Joker being all jokery?
Yeah. Damaged.
Yeah, that made me cool.
I like that movie. That
face makes you cool. Why? You know what? Don't answer. Don't bother me.
Don't.
Mike, go ahead.
Back to me now?
Uh-huh.
It's on me?
Yep.
You don't quit us, son. We're not the U.S. Postal Service, you piece of shit. No way anyone's getting this one.
Is it the Postman with Kevin Costner?
No, Ford Lincoln Mercury. It's not that.
Is it the 80s Punisher movie?
No, it is not. You're on a pretty close track, though.
80s Cap?
No. I'm talking about
Nick Fury movie?
No, I never actually saw that thing.
All right. I got him.
That was in Spawn. That was Martin Sheen's line. One of Martin Sheen's lines in Spawn.
I've also blocked that movie out of my head.
Yeah, you want to talk about shit movies? Ooh, boy.
I don't hate Spawn.
Fucking despise that. What a letdown that was. So bad, 26 years later, they're still not letting them make one.
It's true. That HBO show, though.
Well, the animation was totally different. That was excellent. Keith David's voice, how can you go wrong? Anyway, was that a show?
It's a show.
It was.
Wrap all right. Up.
As always, if you like what you hear, you can like us on Facebook.com/Nerdities, follow us on Twitter @Nerdities,
email us at nerdies@gmail.com and check out nerdies.com.
While you're there, kindly, go fuck yourself. And then, go over to nerdities.myspreadshop.com and open your wallet. Buy some stuff. You were all like, we want hoodies, we want hoodies, give us hoodies, and like, no one's bought one. So you're like, you should. You should. I went out of my way to change things around because Joe was all like, oh, we need to offer more products to people, guys. Like, they'll totally buy more stuff. They haven't.
I have a hat.
So fuck all of you. And speaking about fucking, Valentine's Day is coming. So head on over to Sinful Creations by Justin, C-I-N-N-F-U-L, creationsbyjustin.com, and order some sweet treats for yourself, your ego, the empty hole inside, or the hole you're trying to fill in someone else.
Ooh, well done.
We've got a bunch of delicious treats for Valentine's Day, and any other day, honestly. Want some red velvet cinnamon rolls? Yeah, you do. We got it. Chocolate lava cookies? And you're like, why not do chocolate lava cake? I'll tell you why. Because that's mid. And chocolate lava cookies is where it's at. You can have it as a cookie, and you bite into a nice fudgy center. Or you can, if you so choose to, throw it in the microwave for a few seconds, plop a scoop of vanilla ice cream on that bitch, and guess what? It's like a chocolate lava brownie. Fresh and hot. You can drizzle the chocolatey goodness that's left on the plate or bowl all over your lover. Or on yourself. Why not run out to an AMC and get the Fleshlight Dune 2 popcorn bucket? These are all things and possibilities. Happy Valentine's Day.
check us out on YouTube. YouTube.com/nerdities. Smash that subscribe button. Hit smash the bell to get notified when new content is coming. Because a whole lot of new content.
It's not that much. We realize that the workload is way bigger than anybody's attention.
Okay, so we're going to scale that down a little bit. So new content is coming.
Some
content. There's definitely some new content.
Including Nerd ETs, our cooking show. Some shorts. A feature film is in the works. The part 3 to the Joe trilogy.
And we're going to be live streaming pro wrestling D&D. Which Joe is absolutely going to have to actually show up for, unlike our regular D&D campaign, which he completely bitched out on.
For wrestling that I know nothing about.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
You can listen to us, and don't forget, you can follow us on all these podcast sites, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podomatic, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, while it still exists.
And don't just fucking listen, you pores. Give a 5-star rating.
Yeah, you could rate us. Hit the follow button. Be subscribed to us. You will get notified when, like, new episodes are coming, because new episodes drop every week. And if you're feeling generous and want to give us a budget for any of this stuff, write to us at nerdies@gmail.com. We'll croon, we'll spoon, we'll talk about your business and or product.
Also, go check out our Facebook page and get yourself some sports ball boxes for the big game, the Taylor Swift Bowl. Right, Kyle?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Do you want to run down how that's going to work for these peeps?
For these peeps?
Yeah.
For the next 2 weeks until they can't buy it anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically there's 4 boards, a $2 board, $3 board, $5 board, $10 board. So $20 will get you to 1 box on each board. The lowest payout is the first and third quarter of the $2 board. That's $20. So for a box on each board, you have a 1 in 16, or you have 16 chances to win your money back. We're better than that. And, basically 80% of the money we raise, in the Super Bowl boxes is going back to payouts. 20% is helping us get a table at a convention for the first time since before the pandemic. We've been trying, we talk about it every year. But we haven't been able to do it in,
cause no one buys hoodies,
several years now. So, big help to us to help us get back to a convention.
Yeah, what he said.
All right. So you know what we got going on now. You know what else is going on? The opinions of Nerdy's crew are idiotic and poisoned out, but you can figure that out on your own. Don't worry, next week's will be far more insulting. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.